Okay, we're on right now.
Call the meeting to order. This is the San Luis Obispo County Civil Service Commission Regular Session Meeting, Wednesday, December 15th, 2021. And if you would join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Mr. Clerk, please call the roll.
Okay, President Nix.
Here.
Vice President Nicholson. Absent. Commissioner Bergman.
Here.
And Commissioner Erica Flores Baltadano.
Here.
Okay. This is the time for public comment. Members of the public wishing to address the Civil Service Commission on matters other than those scheduled below may do so when recognized by the President. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Mr. Clerk, did we have any written?
We have no public comments submitted to us.
Okay. And any public comments on Zoom?
We have none.
Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the commission and move on to the minutes of the November 17th, 2021 meeting. Are there any additions or corrections?
I just wanted to note on page 3A003, we talked at length on one item last meeting that we ended up delaying or postponing to this meeting. So I just thought the last paragraph before it says it was determined some of the commissioners did not receive the full agenda packet, I think I would just like to add, after significant discussion, it was determined, just to reflect the work and the time that we spent reflecting on that action item last time.
I would agree with that.
Thank you.
Okay. We will add that addition to the minutes. Any other additions or corrections? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion as amended.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of accepting the minutes as amended indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, those are approved as amended. Moving on to the number 4, request to approve new job specification, the custodial operations manager. And we have, there you are, Teresa McCarthy White.
It's me. I'm back.
And we always love to see you.
Good morning, Commissioners. Teresa McCarthy White, Human Resources. With me today is Public Works Director John Diodati, Public Works Deputy Director of Facilities and Support Division Cindy Treichler, and Human Resources Analyst Miranda Wall, assigned to the Public Works Department. Before you is the recommendations previously brought to your commission last month to modify two existing classifications, Building Maintenance Superintendent and Supervising Custodian, as well as a recommendation to create a new classification, Custodial Operations Manager. The county currently utilizes the Building Maintenance Superintendent classification for two positions, the position responsible for organizing and directing the maintenance and repair operations, as well as the position that performs similar duties around the management of custodial operations. As previously noted, the employment standards and necessary qualifications for successful performance in the management of custodial operations is significantly different than what is needed for the management of maintenance operations. Therefore, it is recommended a new classification be created to encompass the custodial operations manager's responsibilities. Additionally, it is recommended that minimum qualifications for both manager classifications be updated to require supervisory experience, but allow for a combination of education, training, and relevant experience that can provide the other required skills and abilities. The need for the new custodial operations manager specification also created the need to modify the existing building maintenance superintendent and supervising custodian specifications to clearly distinguish the duties between the roles. Lastly, general cleanup was needed as the existing specifications had not been updated in over 10 years. After conversations with the union and the department, as well as market research, We have found the new specification and the updates to the existing specifications to be accurately represent the roles and responsibilities that are in place. The proposed specs are in your packet along with the org chart. I'll now turn it over to your commission for questions.
Thank you. Mr. Bergman?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify something on page 4A005.
Mm-hmm.
That would be line 55.
Okay.
So, does paragraph number 2, right below line 55, is that mean that you could change 55, or does that mean when it says and, you have to have a minimum of 3 years no matter what?
Correct. The combination of education and training, that experience can only apply to the other required qualifications, not to the supervisory. So you have to have 3 years of supervisory experience at a minimum, but the 5 years of experience in custodial work, we can substitute that for some combination of other experience.
Understand. So this is a must as far as the note line 55?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, am I the only one that sees it that way, that it's vague, or am I just picking that too far?
It's clear to me. It's okay. A minimum and one or the
right.
Other.
Okay, I'm good with the 10.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw the and there as meaning and.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure when, you know, when it says listed above, that it did not include that sentence on 55.
They did not, no.
Okay. Ms. Baldonado?
I have no comments.
Okay, and nor do I. I will entertain a motion regarding approval of this new job classification.
I'll move to approve the new custodial operations manager job classification.
And I would second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. We will move on to the request to revise job specification for building maintenance manager. And let me find my place. Okay. Mr. Bergman, do you have any comments or questions?
No, my question that I would have the same question was answered on the first one, so I'm good.
Okay.
Everything in here is fine. I just wanted to make a suggestion or two with just how it's organized.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly because I think in terms of a job description specification really dictates what the performance evaluation is going to be looking for, and that has a lot of implications down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that the representative duties are not in order of importance, and that's fine. But I do think that each bullet point could contain related sentences. So for example, in the second bullet point, it says organizes and directs operations and activities involved in the maintenance and repair of county buildings, facilities, and equipment. I would add to assure a sentence from the next page that seems sort of out of place.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me,
yeah.
Would you tell me which page you're
on? I'm sorry, I'm on 5A006. This is the building maintenance manager, the version without the red line.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the second bullet point under representative duties, and I'm suggesting that we just pull a line from the first bullet point on the next page. So that the sentence would say organizes and directs operations and activities involved in the maintenance and repair of county buildings, facilities, and equipment to assure county facilities are maintained in a safe and orderly condition.
Okay.
And then the rest of the bullet point is fine. And that would just truncate the first bullet point on page 5A007 to really focus on the receiving processes and prioritizes work orders.
Yeah, understood.
Yeah. And then my only other suggestion is the fourth bullet point down on page 5A006 is really looking at the sort of the supervisory role and the, you know, supervising staff and employees. I would just order those, you know, those sentences so that it begins with interviews and selects.
Okay.
And then assigns, and then trains, and then again, there should be, I would move, there's something on the second page that says reviews, timesheets, and accident reports. I think that belongs up with the supervisory duties. That's the 5th bullet point on page 007.
Yes, line 43.
Exactly.
Okay.
Review support. I would just add that, just so that you're keeping like duties together. And I apologize if that sounds nitpicky, but
No, I totally understand your intent there.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I just ask a clarification? Was on line 30, was preventative maintenance function deleted?
I'm sorry.
Or did that become its own bullet?
I'm sorry. We're
Page 5A.007, uh-huh. Line 30. Oversees preventative maintenance functions.
So it would. I was thinking it would just be receives, processes, and prioritizes work orders, and oversees preventative maintenance functions, coordinates response to emergency maintenance needs.
So that's just all moved into one bullet.
So it's just moving.
It's just removing the first part of that bullet.
Okay. Just because we have two types of maintenance.
Okay, if my suggestions don't make sense.
It doesn't.
It does make sense.
Just I didn't want preventative maintenance deleted and it's not.
Oh, no, not at all. Just moving that first part of the bullet to the prior page.
That works.
Yeah, the rest of it stays the same. And this is great, and I appreciate the edits that were made in the intervening weeks. Thank you all.
And I had no other questions on this. I'll entertain a motion regarding the building maintenance manager.
I'll make that motion and to change it as amended by Ms. Maldonado.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt this building maintenance manager as amended. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that one is approved as amended.
Madam President, could you take public comment on these?
Oh, excuse me. Is there any public comment? And I didn't take it on the custodial operations manager either. Shall we roll back to that?
I would roll back
okay.
to that.
Excuse me, audience and participants. Let's roll back to item number 4, custodial operations manager. Is there any public comment on the custodial operations manager specifications? Seeing none, I will close public comment on that and open public comment on number 5, the request to approve the revised job specification for building maintenance manager. Is there any public comment on that? Seeing none, I'll close public comment on that and move on to supervisory custodian.
If I may make a note on this one, on line 5B0, or sorry, page 5B001, line 8, we added under general, the word general direction. That was a mistake, and we would like to strike the word general and keep it as under direction.
Which line was that again?
Line 8. Just remove the added word general. Sorry, on 5B001.
Okay.
Line 8?
Yes.
Okay.
The second word.
Okay, so you're removing general direction.
You're keeping it as under direction.
Okay. All right. Mr. Bergman, any comments?
I do. Page 5B003, can you turn to that, please, in line 67. And I'm just curious to know why that would be lined out.
So the basic supervisory and training course is a course that's offered by our internal organizational development program, and it is not always feasible that they're offering the class every 6 months, so we wanted to remove that requirement and make it an internal department requirement, but not put it in the specification because, for example, during COVID, that class wasn't offered for over a year.
So there's no way to obtain that class anywhere or in any manner?
not through our internal organizational development program. We have a multitude of courses available on our online learning management system that cover a variety of different supervision topics that they can take at their own pace or can be assigned to them by their department. But the formal basic supervisory training here reference is a specific class offered by our.
Do you think it would be good to add something that they should take it within a certain time frame through internally through their, through a computer course?
We prefer to have classes that are offered by the county to be, you know, required by, like, once again, the department rather than human resources. because this, they have to meet the minimum qualifications to get to this position, and they have to have this experience anyways to get to this position. And after, we actually encourage them to take these courses, but it's not, we don't feel it's appropriate in the specification. It's not licensure, it's not.
Mr. Diodato, do you feel the same way? I mean, would you like to see this person, this candidate for that position, have that class or have that knowledge to be one of your employees?
I've been here long enough to see the evolution of our internal training, and so putting a specific class in here that may not be even in existence 4 years from now would be problematic. So I share the concern with HR that specifically labeling a class is problematic, but I would be open to language maybe that's upon condition of the appointment, they have some sort of supervisory training class, maybe to the department's requirement.
Yeah, if you want something that you would provide for them or some that they could obtain.
Correct.
Somebody could look into and find one that would apply pretty well and then, you know, fit the need. I think it would be good for that person to have that if they didn't have it already.
I'd be supportive of that as long as it was at the department's discretion to what class that was.
Sure. And I'm okay with that. So how could we modify this to say something like that?
Successful completion of supervisory training is required within 1 year of appointment.
As identified by the department?
As identified by the department.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Go ahead, sorry, Commissioner.
I was just going to point out that then puts a burden both on the employee and the employer, right? So that the course, some training has to be offered within a year, regardless of COVID or other emergency situation, and the employee will be docked if they don't do that, right? So I might recommend some a little bit more general language or something that accounts for, you know, as required by the department, period, or something like that, so that it's not, I don't know. That's my concern, is just to provide a little bit of flexibility, because creating timelines that may not be achievable under all circumstances.
And I think between Mr. Diodati and the HR, they can figure something out that would apply and that would fit the situation.
May I comment, Commissioners?
Yes, go ahead, Ms.
So, you're not going to find a more supportive person between John and I in terms of training. I mean, we're all about it. I'm wondering if we could consider this in the future as a strategy for the commission, because this is a little bit, it's a fresh approach to build in training requirements to the spec. Correct me if I'm wrong, other classification people, but I think typically we built it in when it's like a licensure requirement or some other legal requirement, and if to go beyond that for all other classifications, I'd like us to put more strategy around that, because that's a significant change. I'm not opposed to it, but it just seems like we ought to think it through a little bit more.
The comment that I would have on that, on this issue, is, for instance, when we have a deputy sheriff for something, they are required by a certain amount of time to go to the post trainings and so on. I look at the suggestion of keeping some kind of a training requirement and as similar to what we already do with other departments. As well, if this is not included in other supervisory roles at this similar level, it probably should be. If we're not requiring that they have supervisory experience or training prior to getting the job, they certainly, if they're going to be a supervisor, should have some kind of supervisory training that is official, if you will. I think that once you get into the day-to-day activities and responsibilities that go on with the job and the pressures of your workload, it's easy to say, oh, that doesn't matter. And I think that Mr. Bergman and I are looking at being proactive to assure that even once someone is on the job, that they are getting both, as Ms. Baldonado pointed out, both the employee and management have the burden to be sure that the person receives training.
Yeah, I'm supportive of it. I just share the concern of, I mean, not only am I supportive of it, we've built it into our programs. We often ask people to go to supervisory training before they're promoted.
Right.
I mean,
that's
so
the
it's
the best way to do it.
It's not that you're not getting opposition from me, mm-hmm. from a
the substance of you agree
yeah,
with
thank
the
you.
Substance of what is being recommended. As you're suggesting that this actually is outside of protocol right now with how we handle training for specific positions. I think requirements in other departments are probably mandated by other, you know, laws and regulations and what have you, so you have to have certain training, I forget what it's called, post-training, you know, in the sheriff's office. Within a dedicated time, within a specific timeline. But to call out just one type of training, I'm sure, Mr. Diodati, I'm sure that someone in this position would be offered and asked to take multiple types of training, sexual harassment training, you know, anything else that would be required. So to call out one type of training and put a timeline on it, I think what the HR director is suggesting would be sort of an anomaly, that perhaps we take a broader approach, and if this is a direction we want to go, we would have to do it across the board for all specifications. And also be mindful that, you know, we have to incorporate not just one type of training, but, you know, training overall.
Absolutely. And I can...
I think we did have a kind of a compromise solution before we changed the subject a little ways. So, I mean, do you want to go back and recap what you had said earlier?
Go ahead.
I just want to speak from a classification perspective, because he can offer his insight to his specification for his department, but we once again are talking about making a change to a supervisory classification, and we have multiple supervisor classifications.
Understood.
Across the departments, and we do look to keep it standardized, our approach. And I can say that looking out at the market and doing market research on this spec and all the other specs that I've brought forward to your commission, almost all counties do not put in any sort of requirements around county-provided trainings, only around mandated trainings. Even, for example, in the health agency, they're all required to go through HIPAA training, but that's not listed on their specification. That's something the department requires, and we let them manage that. And so having this person go to supervisory training is similar, where the department is going to manage that and require them to do it in order to do this job, but it doesn't need to be spelled out in the specification, because that is a departure from our approach.
So is this something you are going to make sure happens in your department for this particular person that takes this job?
They would have most of my staff who are, we have an internal mentoring program, and folks who want to move up in our organization are joining that, and we're encouraging training and the START Academy and other supervisorial training. It's optional at this time, but most folks understand that that's a pathway to supervision and career development in public works. Again, I go back to I started here when Seven Habits was the only training available, and if we go full circle or a couple years from now, we don't have those offerings that are listed in here, that's very problematic. So that's what I would not want to see, is an explicit requirement to some sort of training. folks that we're hiring. We don't have a lead worker in custodial, so if you look at the org chart on the next page, or following pages, it goes from custodian to supervising custodian. So individuals who would be internal candidates will have either had previous supervisorial experience from another job, or are showing the it factor that we want to be a supervisor, and will most likely have taken a class or done special stretch assignments that demonstrated their leadership and supervisorial skills. So I don't have a concern with, I don't see the need for the requirement for the class based on how we operate, and most folks will have had some sort of supervisorial experience anyway before they get promoted or classwork.
You know, the better, the more education a person can get and have, the better it is for everyone. That would be the employer and employee both. You know, as far as you're, you know, relating to other counties, I'm old school. That doesn't matter to me what other counties do or what they don't do. I like to do what's right for our county, and I see, you know, I don't use those as comparison. I never really have, and it doesn't really make much difference to me what happens in other places. I just want to see what's right for us, and that's one of the reasons, you know, I ask these questions. So,
well, we do need to take them into account, considering they are competitors for the same personnel for us.
Right, you're not going to find somebody that have this job classification in Monterey County. They're going to leave here to go there and move. You know, it's just our county stands on its own a lot as well. So
we do have a significant amount of people applying from Santa Barbara County.
So anyway, that was my question, you know, I think it's just good for everybody to have further education. So that's where I'm coming from.
And the comment that I would have based on the enlightenment Mr. Diodati's provided is that I'm now hearing you say that along the way, staff in general have opportunities to seek and receive training that would help them be prepared to move into a supervisory role.
Yes, the county offers a program called START, and that program is specifically targeted to employees that are not yet supervisors that are interested in becoming supervisors. And it's a multi-day academy that they go to where they learn what supervision requires, and so they can kind of learn more about it and decide if that's a path that they want to pursue, and it also teaches them supervisory skills. And that's targeted to people that are not yet supervisors.
And is that an opportunity that an employee is able to go to, just like does their supervisor or program director, whatever your title above them is, would that person have to approve that they go to that training?
It is on a nomination basis at this point, because we have more people interested in going than we have classes available. But employees are always encouraged to speak to their supervisor and ask for a nomination if that's something they're interested in pursuing.
Okay. And then looking at the unions in this, unions are very specific in feeling like they need to support, and their job is supporting and moving the employees forward. Have you had discussions with them about, for instance, an individual who may not be nominated by their supervisor? Is that a union issue, that they're not being nominated when it's something they particularly want to try?
In my 5 years with the county, that has not been an issue that has come up.
No. Okay. And Mr. Diodati, in your role, how do you assess the nominations and who you'll support for going into some kind of leadership training?
I delegate that to the division managers. So the management leads of all of our different functions in public works generally look towards who they're going to have for the next offering. And like was mentioned earlier, we're a large department with a lot of employees, and usually we only get a couple openings every time. And then if there is a list, myself and the deputies may review it to see who we want to prioritize on that list.
And from HR's perspective, is there a limited number of these classes, and is the class size limited?
Yes, we have two different types of training. We have academies, and that's the START program that we're referencing here, specifically an academy, and that's a multi-day class offering where we bring in outside contractors to lead the class. And so those do have limited availability because they are more on the expensive end. And then in addition to that, we offer classes taught by county instructors on a variety of topics that can be used in supervisory capacity, like strengths and understanding communication styles and all sorts of other topics that have more broader availability because they're taught by in-house instructors. And we offer those on a regular basis.
Okay. And when you're evaluating somebody who's passed the other MQs, is that part of your evaluation process to evaluate their strengths and knowledge and their own initiative regarding supervisory information and know-how?
Yes, yes. This is a different type of supervisorial skill set, I'd say. So this is more custodial, you know, more of the blue-collar work, and so motivating that team on a daily basis. It's a very hands-on position, and we emphasize customer service. So I could, you know, counter-argue as much as I'd want them to have supervisorial training, I'd almost want them to have customer service training more.
Absolutely. Makes sense.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of, you know, leading folks in that type of field work is definitely a different type of supervisory skill set than a general office position or other field work.
Okay. Based on this discussion, I think I can go along with the suggestion of HR as far as that they have other ways of accomplishing this outside of having it in the job description. Okay. At this time, I will ask, is there on Zoom, is there any public comment regarding the building maintenance manager specifications?
None.
Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the audience here. Is there any public comment on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for motion and deliberations.
I'll move to approve the supervising custodian's classification. Is that the right term, or is it specification? I was confused those two.
Specification.
As presented.
I will second that.
Okay, thank you. And just as a point of clarification, I misspoke when I called it out for public hearing. I was calling out for the supervisory custodial. So before we vote, is there any public comment based on my corrected language? Seeing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of adopting the supervisory or custodial specifications, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. These are approved as presented. Now we will move on to item number 6.
Tell Rich I said hello. Tell Richard I said hello.
Hello. Thank you.
And thank you. President's report. I have no report. And we'll move on to commission counsel.
Nothing from legal counsel. Thank you.
I do think our legal counsel.
Okay. I have a little bit. Nina Negranti. Yesterday, as was made a big production at the Board of Supervisors, I will be retiring by the end of the year. And so I just want to say it's been such a pleasure working with this commission and HR and all of the staff. I learned so much. I enjoy the subject, and it has really been a pleasure. So thank you.
We're going to be sorry to see you. Good leave.
So thank you.
Thank you for your many years of service.
Thank
and,
you.
Wish you all the best and what's ahead.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Exciting.
And I also add my compliments to your counsel that you've provided to the commission, as well as your years in work with the county. And we will miss you. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
And I wish you well in your retirement.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Moving on to outside counsel is not here today, so commission secretary.
Mark's not here.
I know. That doesn't mean we... Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I got a backup for Mark.
I'll be easy on you, I promise.
Well, Jamie, you might as well start with scheduling then.
Okay. We're actually not looking for dates. So Jamie Russell, Human Resources, we actually just want to confirm some dates that are already on the commission's schedule. First is a needs improvement evaluation with the sheriff's office. And so just confirming January 26th and January 27th. And then the second is a discipline, a termination in child support services scheduled for February 17th and February 18th.
I just found out yesterday that I won't have backup child care on those dates, but I have enough advanced time to figure that out. So those dates should be fine. I'll hold them.
Okay, 16th and
17th
and 18th.
Yes.
Yes. I have those on my calendar, so we're good.
And the 17th and 18th are in addition to our regularly scheduled meeting on the 23rd, February 23rd.
Yes.
Okay.
February 16th and 17th, was that it?
17th
and 18th. Okay. Any other scheduling matters?
Not right now.
All right. Wendy, you did go easy on us.
I know.
She's saving that for Mark.
Exactly. Okay.
You know what? Can I ask a question, though? I think we had set a date. Did we set another hearing in March? Another date in March?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't think so.
And as of right now, so I have an email here from Mark McKibben that says no other scheduling needs, so I'm going to trust
okay.
that.
All right, it's helpful to plan ahead, so that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He even took care of us before
he
went to Hawaii.
You know.
No, Mexico, yeah.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
I have a couple other items,
okay.
If you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Well, first, I also want to thank Nina. I mentioned at the board yesterday that I'm going to miss seeing her across the table. She's offered us really great advice on how to manage agendas, and sometimes we've tripped up and she gets us right back in order. So thank you, Nina.
Thank you, Jamie.
And I also want to, we have more staffing changes. I think we are gonna have more staffing changes this year than we've ever experienced. Teresa McCarthy White is going to become the county, well, she is actually officially the county safety officer. And so you'll only periodically see Teresa in here. So I'd like to introduce Lindsay Bond. She'll be taking over as the class and comp analyst. There we go. That's her. And so Teresa, luckily, is staying in HR. And so Lindsay will not let her leave her hanging high and dry. So Teresa will be helping. And, of course, Mark Zeltman is... managing that group. So just lots of changes, which leads me to the state of the workforce overall. I had the opportunity to talk to Jeannie about this when we were bargaining, but I'd like to get the commission's approval to agendize a state of the workforce presentation from HR to your commission. We have put one together for the department heads and the Board of Supervisors by request. There's just so much talk about turnover. Our turnover is very high. And we're not it's not unusual. It's just that, as you said, Commissioner Bergman, we care about our county and what's happening in our county. And what's happening in our county is we are in an employee's market, and employees are struggling to afford to live here and buy homes here. And so our recruitment and retention has to shift. So we would love to schedule a time to present what we have to your commission, get your input, get your thoughts, maybe even think about some strategy that we could work on with you to help our situation. So I was looking at January or February, but you're pretty busy in January with the hearing. Your February meeting is the 23rd, and you don't have a hearing. Your hearing's different dates, so would that work for you? It's not a long presentation. I just anticipate a lot of good discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. I'm strongly in favor of that. I think the more that we can be ourselves educated about the current situation, it helps us be informed when we are looking at the documents you bring before us.
Yeah, we would enjoy having the conversation with you and getting your thoughts, so thank you. We'll plan on that.
Commissioner Baldonado, is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's great. I think it's really important, and I would appreciate the presentation. I'm wondering if there's a written report or presentation that goes along with it, if it's something that we can get in advance so that we can review it and come from an informed position or place for that discussion.
Yes.
That would be my request.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. So that we'll look forward to that on February 23rd.
Anything else, Madam Secretary? That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we are moving on to item number 7. Which is public comment on closed session items. And anyone wishing to speak on that particular closed session item may do so. And it's limited to 3 minutes per individual. Do we have anyone on Zoom who wishes to speak on this item?
We have none.
Okay, is there anyone in this room wishing to speak on that item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission, and we will move into closed session per government code section 957.6, conference with county labor negotiator Tammy Douglas Schultz regarding civil service rule update. So we'll turn off the record and go into closed session.
Okay, we're back on.
We're back from closed session. There was no action taken. We gave direction. And this meeting is now adjourned.